You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying: conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and Black Talk RadioNetwork.com, and I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it wasn't, and it has to get done, it must get done, you will get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled for your edumatation, or what do you call that? Entertainment, whatever. This is that. And thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. I know, as you heard, I was having some difficulties. And I believe we got it squared away. I think it just righted itself. Don't know why it did what it did, but it did. But we're cool now. And let me know if it's not cool. Please let me know always. This is African Perspectives. We're going to have a Yo Show Monday because I've been gone. So we're going to talk about where I've been and things that have been happening and all kinds of good stuff today. And you can also, too, lead the conversation. I'm just going to go ahead and get off into the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And I'm going to read all the ones that I missed since I wasn't here at all last week. So I can start with June 1st, all the way to the 10th. So, June 1st. There are other ways to kill a people or colonize them, but none is more certain than the denial or the control of their food. Sam Yeti. What would you do if you woke up in the dead of winter to find all the grocery stores, co-ops, farmers markets, and restaurants in your community closed and upscalable, an impenetrable, heavy guarded wall erected around it? What would you do if this wall separated you from the water, gas, and electricity, from hospitals, pharmacy outlets, fire rescue, and other social services, schools and relatives, but not churches, liquor stores, malls, cable, drug dealers, nightclubs, casinos, and police brutality? What would you do if your family was starving, but those who built the wall would give you and yours a few slices of bacon, some stale bread, and the choice of whatever overseer-driven position you desire on the plantation? They were establishing right outside the wall. If you only would help them turn your people away from rebellion and convince them to accept re-enslavement in exchange for food, what would you do if they intensified the dropping of poisons from helicopters into your urban gardens for fear of using refusal to consume only their nutritional side, nutricide products? What would you do if,
after completing the job of poisoning our remaining arable plots, they decided they would rather keep their food and take our money because the quality and the quantity of edible and digestible substances had become worse and made scarce. What would you do if they decided we were not worth feeding anymore? Affirm, I grow, prepare, and protect my own food, Ashe. Affirm, I grow, prepare, and protect my own food. Something to seriously think about. But we've always been talking about what happens in our community, the food deserts, all the ingredients in food, particularly in this country. In fact, it is said that there are more things that are allowed in food than other so-called industrialized countries in Europe and so forth. Yeah. June 2nd. You don't get liberated through morality. You get liberated through power. Kwame Ture. Brother Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture. In order for us to be liberated through power, we must be able to identify and master it and distinguish it from influence. Power is the direct, unmitigated exercise of self-determining consciousness regardless of other objections. It is the uncompromised actualization of one's will into existence with the force that prevents any successful challenge to its fulfillment. There is no questioning conscious are historically grounded spirit-driven power. Influence, on the other hand, is not power. It is the attempt to alter the opinion or action of those one considers to be more powerful to your advantage. It is of a lesser breed of potency than power. One cannot exercise influence as a means of forcing one's will. Of the two, only power can be effectively exercised in this way. The exercise or threat of exercising force or violence falls within the domain of power, not influence. Therefore, outside of the intervention of the influencer's charisma, which is unlikely to seriously impact those power holders, already well trained in manipulation, influence is the act of belief in change. Influence is the act of belief in change. It is an expectation of a probability based on goodwill or gullibility of power wielders. In the case of Africans relative to Europeans, it is an act of wishful hoping against the record of history. It is a shameful attempt at the pretense of power, which gives the illusion of integrity and substance to a voluntary civility. Affirm, I am being liberated through my own power. Ashe, affirm, I am being liberated through my own power. I'm not trying to influence nobody to give me a position, because they can easily take it away. That's not power. Influence is not power. Power is the ability to define reality and shape it and fashion it in our image and in our interests. June 3rd. How can Western humans and historical science, born, cultivated, and defined by other people in an alien socioeconomic context, offer useful and effective service to African people worldwide? Their existential realization, their problem, aspirations, and projects. As a politicized entity that thrives on conquest and oppression, the European nation has advanced their science in a particular direction. They wield science as a weapon designed to help it force itself onto the position of defining all people and nature in any way that suits their own troubled cultural acelic imperatives. The politics that guide their science are hell-bent on globally institutionalizing their particular interpretations of reality as the universal way. The idea of progress for the sake of change, any change, is driving energy behind this theme. Therefore, their science is obligated to blindly rush in any direction that will appear to evaluate their way above all others. In this blatantly disdainful, racist political climate, any traditional, natural, Eurocentric cultural philosophy cannot be allowed to scientifically explain natural order. If science begets truth, and Europeans are controlling the science, that defines what questions and answers are to be asked and answered for all people in their quest for universal truth. Then Europeans control the interests and options, and therefore the truth of all. Europeans control the truth of all people. Affirm, I think from an African-centered scientific mind. Affirm, I think from an African-centered scientific mind. June 4th. There is in the world no such force as the force of a man determined to rise. William Edward Burghardt Du Bois. W.E.B. Du Bois. We once existed in a state of ma'at, in sync with the universe and each other. Our decline has been identified with the invading presence of others, skilled in disorder and devoid of civilization, but welcomed by our xenophobic hearts. But welcomed by our xenophilic hearts, and our gradual force, mistaken submission to their suicidal ways. Spiritual-sided ways. Physical, mental, and spiritual and cultural devastation followed in rapid succession. For over 3,000 years, fragmentation, poverty, and powerlessness rained down upon our people, giving us ample cause to lose memory. Even so, there are still those among us who refuse to accept others' lies above our natural state. There were those of us moving from generation to generation who refused to be de-Africanized. Refused to be de-Africanized. We uncover and relearn what was more than skin deep, as well as what secrets our skin held. From this milestone, we began to claim what was inherently ours. Returning to our source, we studied, reconceptualized, and built institutions modeled in the spirit of our ancestors. Our intergenerational rebirth into who we have always been galvanizes us to save ourselves from corrupted, self-hating menticide. The best of us have realized that culture is the key to sustaining a momentum of this awakening until we have reached and gone beyond the point where we can see no way other than that of our ancestors. Ashe. Affirm, I am the best of us. Affirm, I am the best of us. Ashe. Turn this page, family. Just hold on for a second here. Just want to make sure that I'm on.
So time for an awakening is a proud part of the Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black digital and podcasting platform.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, family. So hopefully, I'm just having a little technical difficulties here. Hopefully, I'm clear now at this time. All right, let's continue with June 5th. We have a right to self-determination. It is a birthright which we need not either justified or explained. Tom and Mobe. It is a birthright which we need not either justify or explain. Self-determination. Okay, family. I think I got a hold of this situation permanently here. All right. Self-confidence comes about and is expanded through the demands of initiative. What this means is that those individuals who have self-confidence or want to claim it are those who are willing to take the first step to do something. First has an initial as well as therefore before others. Warriors working to develop their confidence select individuals who have mastered what they have not to challenge them. They pick someone who they can learn from. What would we wish to deny our children? Their birthright to experience a real reality, a challenging one, a self-discovering one. Why would we force a weakening, synthetic one on them that drives them to find the easiest way to every end just because we can't take any pain? Why do we refuse to take our children powerful in the only way people have ever done so, through struggle? We must have the confidence to imagine a legion of temperate descendants who would know that they can handle anything that confronts them. Now that's power. Those who follow us would have found their infinite potential by having successfully passed their increasingly more difficult tests that we have carefully and compassionately placed before them. They would intuitively know that can't died long ago. Before the African was born. They would know they are African. Just as no one is born wise, no one is born with self-confidence. It has to be developed. It has to be nurtured. It takes time. Affirm, I am self-confident as I pursue my African liberation. Ashe. I am self-confident as I pursue my African liberation. June 6th. Eunuchs, figuratively or not, do not lead slavery votes. Let me repeat that. Eunuchs, figuratively or not, do not lead revolts. Eunuchs do not refuse to fight in unholy wars, thumbing their noses at trophies and fame to achieve which some men sell their souls. Jean Carey Bond and Patricia Perry. Revolutionaries are not reactive passives who do anything bidding as apolitical mercenaries for money, praise, or pleasure. They expend their energy doing the difficult and usually immediate thankless work of solidly reconnecting us to the knowledge and wisdom of our ancestors, practicing our traditions without unneeded modifications, and building strong, empowered, enduring families, educational, economic, political, spiritual, and military institutions that reaffirm the African way in a manner that it can no longer be assaulted by internal or external enemy forces. We are not eunuchs. Others would portray us as in an effort to demoralize and defeat us. We are verbally assaulted only because, even in the pretense of all their destruction, we have not been defeated, I say. If we were eunuchs, powerlessness individuals wallowing in our submission, no one would have to say so in order to convince us. As with their science persistently reoccurring attempt to convince us of some fallacious genetic intellectual inferiority of Africans, it would be self-evident. It would not have to be stated over and over again at every opportunity. It would be understood as normal because it would be apparent as the norm. We're not. Affirm, I will never be defeated. Affirm, I will never be defeated. June 7th. To manipulate history is to manipulate consciousness. To manipulate consciousness is to manipulate possibilities. And to manipulate possibilities is to manipulate power. Our esteemed ancestor, Nana, Dr. Amos Wilson. In African society, one's possession do not determine the weight of one's voice. All voices are valued. Here, in this reality of only either dominance or powerlessness, the articulation of political truths rests in the hands of the ruling group. For less politically powerful groups, such as us, leadership has become defined by an individual's ability to manipulate words to make them appear as they are not. The ability to tell bold-faced lies and have others believe them. The ability to champion safe, cautious objectives, which were mere symptoms of the truth. Veiled cause they fear to broach. And the ability to shrewdly oversee the interests of those they worship are owned by and feared. But the fault is not wholly theirs, because our vulnerability, messianic orientation, we become victimized by the misleaders who limited by others. Come to us for refuge while full and come to us for refuge while full of selfish intent. In docileing, following those who are told to speak for us, we too expect...
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
We too expect... We too expect... Where did I lose my thought? We too... In becoming docile, following those of us who speak for us, we too expect and to become excited over leaders who talk a good game and entertain charismatically, who debate well, who have the gift of gab, because we have misdefined the nature of politics and war. Equally dangerous, we operate as if Western society is fair, and that truth will come to light, and that reform, not revolution, is needed for us to become victorious. Reform, and not revolution, is needed for us to become victorious. Man, it's deep. Affirm, I am politically empowered. Affirm, I am politically empowered. Three more, family. June 8th. It is idle, a hollow mockery, for us to pray to God to break the oppressor's power. It is idle, a holy mockery, for us to pray to God to break the oppressor's power, while we neglect the means of knowledge, which will give us the ability to break his power. God will help us when we help ourselves. Great ancestor Frederick Douglass. God will help us when we help ourselves. The 42 oracles and principles of Ma'at speak to action and restraint, not just passive resistance. They give us important logical qualifiers such as, I will not be wrathful and angry except for just cause. And I will not utter curses except against evil. Driven by the captor's need to individually survive, many of us have accepted the truncated passive versions of these. In our dogged efforts to escape the necessary violence of our people's struggle to rise, we have committed treason against our ancestors by helping others work their genocidal magic against us. Let me repeat that. In our dogged efforts to escape the necessary violence of our people's struggles to rise, we have committed treason against our ancestors by helping others work their genocidal magic against us. Inaction is still action because inert soldiers change the balance of power. Contrary to popular belief, nothing but ourselves will save us from a predatory people who need passive, self-sedated sheep in order to remake the world in their image. Without our combined, open-eyed earthly efforts, we will find that the kind of false peace realized through misguided individual prayer and meditation becomes our living death. There is no universal truth. There is no universal rule stating that people cannot remain as slaves indefinitely. There is no universal truth and a universal rule stating that people cannot remain as slaves indefinitely. Aegis, Aquarius, or otherwise will not free us without us. They only set the stage for what can be done. Cosmic cycles do not take us out of the human reality. They only facilitate the possibilities of changing it. Affirm, I only ask my ancestors to assist us in delivering us from evil. Ashe. I only ask my ancestors to assist us in delivering us from this madness, this evil. Today, June 9th. The success of our oppressor is evident in our amnesia. Eric Bozeman. As warriors and spiritual beings holding the most profound honor and reverence for the spirits of those who died for us in the so-called Middle Passage, we have to bring our African minds to visualize this comedic ocean as our largest shrine. You know it as the Atlantic Ocean. It's the comedic ocean. We have to apprehend and appreciate this great body of water because it contains the greatest concentration of ancestral emotional content of our restless warrior spirit. Therefore, we must make it a place where we can go to wade, pray, meditate, pour libation, make offerings, and cry out for ancestral strength in our battle for righteous justice. To do this, we have to again become those who involuntarily and unconsciously participated in the creation of this living shrine, a shrine of water, of untold amounts of substance we cannot live without. Shrines do not just appear. They are human identifications of sacrifice spaces where the connection with the creator, deities, and ancestors are closest. Only then we can go inside a mind so damaged by fear that it thrives on forgetfulness and insanity. For only then we will be able to understand why a people would leave one of the most important shrines unattended even before scores of generations. As a spiritual energy with when it simmered, raging and waiting. Remembrance gives us life, force, and power. Remembrance. That's why it is important that we understand and revere our history. Our history. Our shrines, our sages, everything that is deeply rooted in being African. Affirm, I have no amnesia about the Ma'afa. I have no amnesia June 10th. Our objective is the destruction of the evil system of global European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy, and the reassertion of our right to self-determination and resurrection of divine human and the divine humanity that we brought to the world in the beginning. This is an outstanding quote by Hiru Anki Saab, Brother James Merrill. Our objection is the destruction of the evil system of global European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy, and the reassertion of our right to self-determination and the resurrection of divine humanity that we brought to the world in the beginning. True statement, such a true statement. Victory is in the hands guided by the minds of those warriors who have already won. If you come to the court, the field, or the board full of apprehension and doubt because of our opponent's record or fabricated reputation, then you have already lost. You have already lost. If you were weary of battle, even though the war has yet to be won, and allow the enemy's propaganda of their progress and their righteousness to steep in and infect your moral, you have already begun the process of self-defeat. Warriors must be ever vigilant of every thought entering their conscious and subconscious beings. For weak, indulgent, indecisive, defeatist thinking leads to easy defeat. No matter the odds, family, no matter the duration in the battle, no matter the difficulty, only the strength given through us in heartfelt courage brings victory for us as African people. Affirm, I am ever vigilant of every thought entering my mind. Ashe, I am ever vigilant of every thought entering my mind. Brothers and sisters, I just read the Inyasa Sim of the days that we missed. Powerful. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central. I went over that. But let me just say, this is the programs that we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 to 9, Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson. Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then on Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening for Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday at 5 p.m., from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan. His program is from 5 to 6 on Sunday. And then at 7 p.m. on Sunday, it's a Time for an Awakening again. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I've been gone a while, so let me get reacclimated, family. Appreciate you. I hope you enjoyed some of the programs with Brother Kwaku put on. I know a couple of them I heard he had a little bit of difficulty, and then I had some difficulty. So... but I appreciate the opportunity once again to be on this microphone and to speak before you, as I always do, believe me. I don't take it for granted. I'll tell you what I've been doing and what's happening. This is June, American African Music Month. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about at the top of the, or after the break, talk about the... what happened at Dillard University, aside from our training program, which we'll discuss that and what that is about and how that is effective. We'll talk about the training program. But we'll talk about the 19 skulls. That's right, skulls that were returned from the UK back to the US that they were used for experimentation. So we'll talk about that as well. And anything else that you want to talk about, if you got something on your mind that you want to bring to our attention. Yeah. This is a Yo Show Monday. And we want to hear what you have to say. Because you always hear what I have to say, because I got to say something. Yes, I do. I got to say something. So, a few other things, too, I wanted to talk about here on this day, on this Monday. I'll say this, family. Apologize once again about the serious problems we had early this morning, but you can hear me. Folks, that you have tuned in. Some of you have gone out, but about five of you have tuned in, so that's great. So I am being heard. And so I look forward to talking with you. So right now, let me go to Brother Theodore Luss. Brother Luss, what's happening? How you doing this morning, brother? Peace.
Good morning, Bubba Oshie. How are you feeling this morning?
I am feeling fantastic, my brother. I want to thank
you.
Very
good. Good to hear your voice as always, and good to be back on program.
Right on.
Nothing here. It's pretty quiet. There's a lot of activity, though, that's going on within the state. This coming Saturday in Birmingham, Alabama, they'll be having a what's called a Yoruba Day. So the Nigerian people that part of a community there will be having a day-long activity starting like 3 p.m. in the afternoon, lasting until 10 on this coming Saturday. And, of course, also as well in South Carolina, they'll be having their Maafa commemoration, their 14th annual Maafa commemoration to honor the ancestors there in South Carolina. So just, you know, keeping the news flowing and the information flowing, and all of us staying on the same page. But for me, everything, and it's a little rainy and wet. It looks like the sun wants to come out of here, but other than that, though, just hanging in there and doing the very best I can with what I got.
Ashe, thank you so much. When I come back, I'm going to talk about New Orleans at Dillard University and the ceremony.
Yes, I would love to hear. Your experience.
I'm going to do that as well as. I believe you sent me your information. I got to look it over because I'm going to send you the program. I'm going to send you the program.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, most definitely, my brother. I appreciate you, man. You always.
Well, thank you so very much, Bubba Oshie. I'm glad that we are on the same page and that we're able to exchange one with another.
Right.
In order for us both to grow,
as well
as with others who are on this phone. From brothers across the Atlantic as well as other parts of this country. It's about us coming together and unifying. And as you always say, right, Pan-Africanism or perish.
That's right.
Unify or
die.
Ashe. Yes, sir.
That's for real. I say. Okay. All right, my dear brother, just hold on, okay? And when
Ashe,
you...
all right, I'll be listening.
Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Yes, Bubba Oshie, how are you?
I am well, my friend. I am doing
well. Grand Rising.
Great Grand Risings, yes, sir.
Great Grand Rising. And it's so good to hear you back. I hope you had a good time. Obviously, the ancestors guided you and brought you back home.
Thank you.
That's a great thing.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Ashe.
Bubba Oshie, I know you're coming to the break, so I just want to touch on a few things.
Okay.
What you're reading on, you know, some of the things which has stirred me up. Sometimes I have to take notes because if I don't, I actually forget.
Sure.
No, but the interest in which you gave was, and you went back, it was necessary, you know, mm-hmm. It's necessary that, what's the person's name who writes it?
That's Baba Baruti.
Baba Baruti.
Right.
Yeah.
Baba Mali. This is the Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. He has a quote from a person known, most known, and some may be unknown, but the quote is profound. And then he gives a narrative from the quote, and that is to shape the day, you know. And he has two volumes. I've been reading these for the last 4 years. So he's going to come out with a new volume, he said, sometime soon, and I look forward to it. But until that time, I'll be reading these same quotes. So if you heard it before, you'll hear it again. You know, that's one of the things that is necessary is repetition.
Mm-hmm. For someone like me, it's essential, right? Because,
yes.
You've described him in the past as a prolific writer.
Yes. Yes.
And it reminds me how I write a lot, but I've not taken it to the stage he's taken it to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I don't write. Maybe they got. So I don't consider myself a writer per se, but I write to get the thoughts out of my head. You know what I mean? Because I'm continually thinking. Continually. I think everything, even some of the small things what people say, I start thinking about. So, you know, it's just good practice to take them out of your head and put them on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like you've described him as a prolific writer, yeah? I'm not so familiar with him. I know there are people on this side of the pond who are familiar because I've heard them talk about him.
Yes.
And they hold him in high esteem, yeah?
Yes.
Well, But
he's at this time, I think, one of the most most forward thinking on the idea of sovereignty. You know, he espouses the idea totally of sovereignty for African people, and you know, more so than some of the other writers who are talking about finding ways to compromise, finding ways to integrate, finding ways to get along, to go along, whatever. No, he is about, I don't want anything that you have. I want our stuff. I want my mind. I want our culture. I want it the African way. It's the African way or no way, you know. So that's the mindset that he is in. I mean, he totally broke away in his education of our children, totally independent. As an independent, he's been doing independent schooling for the last 20-something years. And he, once again, if you go to Akabin House, akabinhouse.com, it is in akabinhouse.com where you can find all the many books that Baba Rudy has written. You know, Akabin, A-K-O-B-E-N, A-K-O-B-E-N, Akabin House. .com, and he's a prolific writer, and you know, in this past weekend, I'm gonna talk about that to me and my lady. We took part in the complementarity conference online. You know, the need go ahead, Paul.
Sorry to interrupt you, Baba Ochi, but you know what? And even as you was talking, it's important, yeah. It's essential to write books. It's very important, right? But for me personally, I find myself with my commitments and the age I find myself at, I don't get the time to read like I used to read.
Right.
When I wanted to know things, yeah, and I had a real hunger to know, I would read. No one needed to tell me. I just needed to know, and I would. I don't have that commit. I can't make that commitment again. I bought books which are just there, and I haven't read them because I know so much more. And what I'm trying to make you understand is that the media for transforming information is plentiful now. It's expanding.
Yes, yes.
So
that's true.
The work I did reading gave me a foundation, right, and it connected the dots for me. But what the position I'm at now is that. When I listen to you read, I've got to get the pronunciation right, and I haven't really got it. But when I hear you read that material,
it's the Enya Sesim. Enya
Sesim. Enya Sesim.
Yes,
that's right. Enya, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. But when you reiterate it, Baba Ochi, it certainly gives me, let me put it this way, it gives me food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really great exercise for the mind, because look, the problem when we're doing all this reading and getting so conscious is, right, it's a double-edged weapon, because you then realize that certain people you don't even want to talk to again. You know, I find it very hard to engage. You know, I might start talking to someone and I realize that they ain't got a clue what time of day it is. And I just feel like, man, I can't be engaging with these people. That's how I feel. And even sometimes when you do, then later when you're just kicking yourself and thinking you've just wasted your time. Mm-hmm. You understand? So yeah. It comes like a double-edged weapon. But what I'm saying is that, you know, it certainly gives you food for thought. And that is what we need. We need to be thinking. We need to be, like where you talk about thought process and turning them thoughts into action. And you know, there's an old cliche, you know, which I don't like cliches, to be honest with you, because not all of them are correct. But it's one which comes to mind where you have to be around people who stimulate your mind.
Right.
And you have to be about people who challenge your mind as well. And challenge you, because if you're not, you don't grow. Mm-hmm. And I know that you don't grow, and we have to grow.
I say.
I know you're coming up to the halftime, so I'm going to leave it there, Baba Ochi.
Okay, well, just stick around, Brother Paul. In the second half, I'm going to talk about a number of things. You know, this is American African Music Month, June. I'm going to talk about, as I discussed with Brother Lust, the returning of the 19 skulls from the catastrophe that happened in New Orleans, a flood, and some Caucasians in England, doctors in England, requested some skulls to be examined and measured and so forth, and they were provided for by the city of New Orleans. And also, too, talk about why I was in New Orleans, our EDI program, Executive Development Institute.
I wasn't familiar with that.
I'm sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
I've not heard of it.
You broke up on me,
Paul. No, sorry. I've not heard about that.
Right. Well, I hadn't heard about it either until Brother Luss told me about it on Thursday. And then I was in New Orleans on that Friday, and then that Saturday was the ceremony, and I'll go through that. So it's going to be very interesting, and a few other things to talk about. Okay, all right, Brother Paul, appreciate
you. Okay, I'll stay tuned.
Thank you. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on TimeForAnAwakening.com, and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We're going to take a break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Ramsey Lewis and Earth, Wind, and Fire. Sun Goddess. I think that's, what is that? 72, 73, something like that. Anyway, lot to talk about. This is a Yo Show Monday. Me talk about this is June, American African Music Month. Also, too, talk about the honoring of the 19 skulls that were returned to that were repatriated to New Orleans. We'll talk about that, and. EDI, the reason why I was in New Orleans, was able to participate or even to see the proceedings, EDI. And, of course, the complementarity conference that was held by Baba Rudy and Mama Ya this past Saturday with me and my lady. We were on the call with about 40 others. On the call, talking about best ways to keep a relationship together and to make it grow and to help people understand each other and understand the most important thing is family. It's family. That's why those of us in the African Center movement, it's not like, you know, we're deeply condemning, some might say yes, homosexuality, and so forth. But we know the proper family model, a man, a woman, an offspring to help continue the forward flow of us as a people. Obviously, if men would go with men and women would go with women, now, of course, with the technology of today, there is in vitro fertilization. I may mention many years ago. In fact, I think I might have mentioned recently the artificial womb that a man could be. I don't make this stuff up, family. I don't. That a man could give birth to a child through an artificial womb. Bump all of that. We're talking about family. We're talking about African men loving African women and African women giving birth to African children who love themselves and love their family and love the fact of who they are and they continue to develop and grow. That's what's necessary. That's what's needed. So, let's talk about June is American African Music Month. It was designated by Jimmy Carter way back in 79. And of course, our music is most tested, sampled, if you use that proper term. In fact, I'm going to go see Sinners again. Because that deals with our music. Me and my lady, we're going to go see Sinners, and it's deep. It's a deep movie, aside from the ideas of vampires and evilness. You know, aside from the story of Robert Johnson, who was not a very guitar player. But Robert Johnson, on the road to wherever, came across the devil and made a pact with the devil. Made a pact with the devil and sold his soul to be an outstanding guitar player. And in fact, he died at an early age. And many people believe that's what happened. He was on that road, came to a so-called, quote, fork in the road, and chose a direction that led him to make a that led him to have a confrontation with the devil, and the idea that the devil would grant him the ability to be an outstanding blues singer. Some believe it, most don't. Most believe it and some don't. I think it's most proper, especially here in the Western world, and in particularly the United States, which is very seriously Christian. But in terms of the movie, I know now many of you have probably seen Sinners when it first came out. Seriously talked about. Now Lilo and Stitch have taken all. Now Lilo and Stitch have taken all of the all the publicity and all of the Lilo and Stitch. But in Sinners, there's that part in the movie when he's playing, and then you see the different genres and the different people, and all the way from the African roots all the way to more contemporary and beyond the past of what that, you know, the time of the movie, the setting of the movie is the 30s. The 30s. But yet they go to the future of music within African people, the past of music within African people. And they go to African drumming and rhythms as well as American African rhythms. And that's a deep part of the movie. And of course, the reality of the influence of many Africans and the genres of music that we were influenced by, that we influenced them, not us. They didn't influence us, we influenced them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the ones I take note of, in fact, Brother Muhammad, who you've heard on this program many times, he loves Ken Burns as well as I. And Ken Burns have produced some outstanding documentaries. And of course, the one on jazz. And I could go on to other ones, but just focusing on the one on jazz. And I remember in the beginning of the documentary, these Caucasians, just like all the time, they co-opt everything. They take everything. And this group, they had, down in New Orleans area, down in the South area, had taken and claimed it to be theirs. No. But of course, when you listen to the different genres of jazz from, I mean, it's just like what kind of bothered me was about in the 70s into the 80s, the biggest so-called jazz saxophonist was Kenny G. Kenny G was, well, of course, there are more Caucasians than us. And of course, you know, if there's a Caucasian of note, the Caucasians will support that. So Kenny G was the biggest selling so-called smooth jazz artist at that time. Not Grover, not Najee, not anybody else. And of course, the old ones of Charlie Parker and Cannonball Adderley and, you know, so many others. I'll tell you one thing that happened for me in that music of jazz was when I came back from Norfolk, Virginia, and this nightclub on the east side of Milwaukee had jazz artists, national jazz artists, performing on a regular basis. And as often as I could go, I went. And it's an honor to me. Well, actually, who got me in? I wouldn't even know anything about it if it were not for my first wife and her brother, Andre Broadnex, who was a saxophone player, who loved Cannonball, but he was hip to all of them, and turned me on to them, you know. Yeah, he left Milwaukee and went to Minnesota, like many artists did, which of course created the sound coming out of Minnesota, Minneapolis, and created Prince, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, all of that. Yeah. And so I got hip to Rashawn Roland Curt. These are the people that I've seen. Rashawn Roland Curt. And if you ever seen Rashawn Roland Curt, this brother who was blind, but who was a master of just miscellaneous amounts of instruments, you know, throwing a clarinet up his nose. I mean, he's playing them all at the same time, family. So if you want to, you know, once again, what do I say? If you want to see something, you know, go to where? Exactly. YouTube. You can go to YouTube and you can hear and see Rashawn Roland Curt. But that night I saw him and he broke away and said, talk about how the music is. And he just said, point blank, they fucking with the music. They messing up the music. You know, he was adamant about it. Rashawn Roland Curt. I seen Charlie Parker. Not Charlie Parker, excuse me. I seen Charlie Mingus, the bass player. Seen him. Seen Roy Ayers, who just passed. Peace and blessings be upon him. The great work that Roy Ayers did. Seen him before he became commercial. You know, when he became commercial. Yep, Roy Ayers. Seen Eddie Harris many times. And I think I've even mentioned the one time Eddie Harris was performing at Teddy's. Jose Feliciano was performing at the Performing Arts Center in Milwaukee. So he's in the audience. And Eddie Harris acknowledges him. And he gets up and he does a scat. And so the young lady that he was with, she got up and she did a scat, you know. And so Eddie Harris says that, you know, he would be performing, Jose Feliciano would be performing at the Performing Arts Center. And then somebody in the audience says, well, where would the lady be performing at? Eddie Harris is quick-witted as he is. Says, she'll be performing in his bedroom. Eddie Harris is terrible, man. She'll be performing in his bedroom this evening, you know. But, yeah, Eddie Harris, Stanley Turrentine. I mean, I could really go on. Freddie Hubbard. I was fortunate and blessed enough to see some of the great jazz artists, you know, in that time. So this is American African Music Month. And all the influence on rock and roll. Yeah. Many of our great people, you know, like Buddy Miles and Jimi Hendrix. Just so many great musicians, great artists in all of those fields. Classical jazz, contemporary jazz, progressive jazz, R&B, yeah, blues, yeah, rhythm. And they want our rhythm, but they ain't shown the hell don't want our blues. The Europeans have proven to be a people who will co-opt your stuff, you know, and put their name on it. You know, I was in fact listening to this one brother who Elvis Presley stole a lot of stuff from. Elvis Presley stole a lot of stuff from, so. Oh, let me talk to Mama Nabantu. I know she has some stuff coming up real soon, so. Mama Nabantu, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Hard to hear you. I don't know if it's my phone.
Oh, I hope not. I've been trying to get it right. I'm speaking right directly into the microphone. Maybe I need to be a little louder, I guess. I'm not sure. But I heard some replays of my program.
Is it just me?
No, maybe not. No, I don't think so. I think I try to not to make the broadcast too loud, you know. But you know, because I know on replays, sometimes when Brother Kwaku will replay it, you know, it's not loud enough. So, no, he's not with you. So what you got going on, Mama Nabantu?
Oh, man, so much going on.
Yes, it
wow,
is.
You ain't heard of
yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I had to go to California for my high school graduation of my third oldest grandson.
Oh, outstanding.
It was good to be with all the family. That was
That's
good.
That's beautiful. That's great. Yes, it was.
And then all these other graduations. With, I mean, why is it that all the graduation schools that we know about are having their ceremonies between yesterday and today. I mean, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, Saturday and Sunday. Right?
Well, they're thinking that you only need, you only got two people who might be graduating, not five. Because you got a big
not
family.
What?
See, you have a big family. If you got a big family, you know, you
well,
may
Well, that's
have.
Why I organized the AFRI school collaborators where mm-hmm. four times a year, all these independent schools that's here in Atlanta are supposed to meet and bring their calendars so we don't trump everybody on the same right. day.
That's true. That's great. That's great to so do that.
We're going to have to work on it for 25, sure. 26 per year.
School year, yeah. Definitely, because all these kids, all these young people who have gone through the rigors of it need to have some shine, so to speak. Need to be acknowledged for what they've done. All of them do, and so
and we need to support all the schools.
Sure, yes, I agree.
So,
when is the Collard Green Festival?
September 27th.
Looks like
it's going to be a first African.
Oh, really? It's going to be a first African this year. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know it changed it last year. What was that church?
It was a Decatur church. It was a white church, but I think they're scared to meet black folks on that campus.
I thought it was a beautiful day and I thought everything was great. It was going along well, but again, just the mere presence, you know, especially in a congregation kind of.
Yeah, well, they would say, "Well, y'all gonna have over 1,000 people there." Now, the next weekend comes to the Decatur Book Fair that brings 10,000 to 80,000 people. It's gonna be there. So, how is 1,000 people next to 10,000 plus? I know what it is. It's too many black folks.
Right. That's the bottom line. The bottom line. Too many black folks. Okay, I hear you, Mama.
They can't handle 1,000 black people. That's too much.
Okay.
Also, we're planning a town hall meeting for the PAFN.
Okay.
Let you know what it is. We're trying to bring Irritated Jenny here to talk about what's going on because he just got back from Burkina Faso a couple weeks ago.
Okay, outstanding. Yes, I talked with him, and he was supposed to have been on my program, but there was a change in his schedule. So, yeah, this is a couple weeks ago he was supposed to have been on. Yeah.
So did he come on?
No, he didn't. He had called me right, the day before saying that he could not make it. So I had told him we'll just reschedule.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, well, we'll announce that and anything else that's going on. Okay, Mama Nabantu? All right.
Oh, the Knowledge Keepers Elders Dinner is going to be on July 13th.
The Knowledge Keepers Elders Dinner. Okay.
Yeah, it was 180 elders that came last year in March.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah, now, who's organizing this?
I don't know if you know Nandi and Glenn, Johanna,
mm-hmm.
Ngozi, myself.
Okay. Let's make sure that we get you guys on and some of the elders that were honored. So
yeah,
we can really
need
promote
to talk
this.
About that.
Yeah.
Because this is an extension of the Council of African Elders in terms of honoring our elders. And it was free. We had 180 elders that showed up. We had no idea it was going to be that many that would show up. And it was very nice. And Yoga Bay was there.
Oh,
He wasn't feeling well, but when the music came on, he got up and danced.
Right on. Yoga Bay. Yeah,
that was like
well, a I know our community will definitely desperately miss him.
Yeah, it was about a month after that he passed away. Mm-hmm.
Now, where's that going to be held?
It's going to be held at Camp Tewitt. You know where that is, where Mama River used to have her Baka Tsum Tsum events?
At Sweetwater Park?
What park?
Sweetwater?
No, way before then.
Okay.
When she first started doing it.
Okay.
I think it's Camp Tewitt.
Okay.
Park, yeah.
Okay.
I'll send that information out to you.
All right.
The flyer should be out tomorrow or Wednesday. I'll send it to you.
All right. Honor our elders. I hear you.
Okay.
I know one day I'll be. Hey, Mama Bantu, I know one day I'll be one.
One day?
Yeah. it's an honor. It's an honor to be an elder. Really, I make no light about it. It's truly an honor. I mean, because most of us are just, Mama Bantu, because most of us are just olders. We're just ogres. Eldership is an honor.
That's right.
That's right.
That's absolutely right.
All right, Mama Nabantu. All right. Thank
you.
All
right.
Peace.
You're welcome. Peace.
All right. All right. Yeah, Elder's Dinner. So let me quickly talk about the honoring the 19 this past Saturday, the 31st. Saw Akina. Akina's from New Orleans, and she drove across from Atlanta, Sister Akina. And I saw her. In fact, she put a lot of good stuff out on Facebook about it. And these are the names of the brothers and sisters who were honored. I'm going to do that. And in the 1880s, a doctor named Emanuel Ludwig Schmidt of Leipzig, Germany, was given 19 individuals' crania by New Orleans doctor Henry Schmidt. These specimens are enumerated in a catalog at the University of Leipzig with racialized colonist labels. 17 of the 19 individuals' names are listed in the catalog. All were either American African or mixed African, European, American descent. They are Adam Grant, age 50, male. Isaac Bell, age 70, male. Hiram Smith, age 20, male. William Pearson, age 43, male. Henry Williams, age 55, male. John Brown, age 48, male. Hiram Malone, age 21, male. William Roberts, age 23, male. Alice Brown, age 15, female. Priscilla Hatchett, age 19, female. Marie Louise, age 55, female. Mahalia, that's no last name, Mahalia, age 70, female. Samuel Prince, age 40, male. John Tolman, age 23, male. Henry Allen, age 17, male. Moses Willis, age 23, male. And Henry Anderson, age 23, male. These were the skulls from the bodies of these brothers and sisters. A flood happened in the New Orleans area that killed, I think it was 1817. And so, because of the death of these people, the German doctors sent information to New Orleans saying, can they get these skulls? Because the medical field was increasingly obsessed with the study of human craniums to the exclusion of the rest of the skeletal parts. They just want the craniums. And what is termed phenopathology, some doctors theorize that they could tell personality or whether individual was virtuous or immoral, intelligent or dull-witted, just by the measuring of the scalp and interring the differences in the individual bumps and crevices. Some doctors then use the differences in the cranium to theorize the superiority of one culture or race over another. Not all doctors agree with these racist theories, but did not object to the study of the skulls. Hence, Western museum and research institutes competed to obtain specimens from around the world. It was easy to get around with little, if any, laws that were concerning the disposition of human remains, and large collections were amassed, mostly in Europe and in the United States. So, the repatriation of the city of New Orleans archaeologists reached out to several entities, including the Louisiana Department of Justice, that handles cases of repatriation, to the New Orleans Anthropology Department, and of course, they agreed to make that happen. And the 19 skulls were returned. They had a ceremony. It was very emotional, very riveting. And the Dillard University choir and all kinds of things for Dillard University. Outstanding job that they did. And of course, they had the funeral procession, which, of course, is in New Orleans, is legendary, with the solemn music being played for those who had deceased going to the interment. And once you get out of the interment, there's the second line. Then they start to jam. Yeah. So, yes. It was a very deep program, and I was happy. And Brother Lusk is the one that told me about it. I have a program here that I'm going to be sending to him so he can kind of get the flavor of it, although he watched most of the proceedings. I don't know if it was YouTube. Brother Lusk, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Where did you watch the program on? Is that YouTube?
I watched the program. It was live streamed from Dillard University.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I got the someone that sent me the link.
Right.
To the live stream. And so I just tapped in it there, which I'm glad I did.
Right on.
From the little Baba Oshie that I had learned of the science or pseudoscience, false science of phrenology, you know something? We really didn't have to go all the way to Germany.
Right.
Yes, the University of Leipzig, it was the second oldest university in the world, man. But guess what? You could go right to the great state of Pennsylvania. There was a gentleman by the name of Samuel Morton,
okay?
Who he himself collected skulls for his study right there in Pennsylvania.
Right.
That's just the craziest thing. So I'm sure that I was thinking of Michelle Alexander, I think it was, the medical apartheid.
Right.
That was written, that I'm sure she probably have included that in it somewhere. But for this, what kind of individual, Baba Oshie, honestly now, what kind of individual would think that if you would take the crania of different people, sizes, arrangements, and then deduce from it intelligence is the... Is
beyond
the most phenomenal thing.
It really is.
It is a bit, you know, but then it's real because let's look at Hottentot Venus.
Yeah.
Right? Let's look at Sarah Bachman and what was done to her and how she was put on display. And so this is all real. This is just unbelievable how human beings can all of a sudden just decide, sitting maybe in their easy chairs or wherever they were, and just decide to themselves, let's create a study on why these people are like this. it's just crazy.
And the thing is, they decided this based upon trying to desperately seek some validation of their superiority all over all others, you know?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Definitely. And so to have this kind and type of thing to be promoted throughout Europe and then eventually coming over here to the United States, in America at that time in the 1800s, my goodness gracious, a lot. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. This is it, but this is what we've lived with. And so they being those colonizers, those European descendants, had to justify their superiority some kind and type of way.
Right.
And look at what medical science has tried to afford them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been crazy. It really has. But I've been doing some homework since then, right?
Wow.
And my goodness gracious alive, it is, these are tidbits that we don't quite, well, in the course, the run of a 24-hour period, not everybody thinks of these kinds and types of things. But I'm glad that you were able to experience it and share it with the listening audience on today. Something that I think is needed, something that just however we investigate it, whichever way possible, but there are things that are happening right here in this country, right here in this time, age. You'd just be surprised, man.
Right.
It is. It's. I'm on.
All right, Brother LS. Thank you so much, my brother, for hitting me to it. And my,
yes,
and
sir.
Of course, I was on the campus of Dillard University, and I'll speak on
that. Ashe.
Okay.
Ashe,
my brother.
Home of the Blue Devils. Home of the Blue Devils.
That's right. That's right. It's a great campus, too. It really is. All right, my brother.
Yes, it is.
Peace.
All right. Peace.
Yeah, I was in New Orleans for the Executive Development Institute, the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute. I talked about this on this program. Every year that I've gone and come back to give a little bit of some knowledge about this particular program that firefighters can take advantage of for their promotional opportunity. I've been involved with it over 30 years. It started in 92, I believe. And it has reaped tremendous benefits for us as American African firefighters. We have become chiefs of departments. Some of us have become chiefs of various departments over time. Sisters, chiefs of departments, you know, and other chief officers like deputy chief, assistant chief, battalion chief, and of course company officers of captain and lieutenant, and some departments even have sergeants. So, you know, all of this ability to be promoted and move up in the ranks and to be competitive in that particular process, that's what we do at EDI. Help you become competitive in that process. But I don't teach that. I teach with two other brothers, Brother Yusuf Muhammad and Brent Burton. Yusuf Muhammad is out of New York, who now lives in Norfolk. Brent Burton still lives in L.A. He just recently retired. So the three of us retired gentlemen, and we teach a course on the first day when the first students who come into that program, because it's a five-year learning process, 1 week each year, mod 1, 2, 3, 4, and mod 5. And once you've gotten all those five, you should be prepared to take any promotional examination anywhere. And so, but what I teach is who we are, because a lot of us don't know who we are. And many of us that are there, of course, you're there to better yourself. What I try to emphasize is how important it is that we are, that we become a collective people. Giving the example of ancient Kemet, do a portion of the presentation talking about some great African historians, some great African leaders, talking about great African scientists like Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, who proved who proved at the symposium in 1974 that the ancient Kemetic people were African, that they were black. Because they had a conference in 74. And the only two Africans that were there was Dr. Thelophilia Obinga, who was a linguistic, and Dr. Sheikh Under the Job. The only two. And they kicked their ass constantly with more information and more information. Just whooped their ass. UNESCO, the United Nations, UNESCO had to write the history of African. Rewrite the history of Africans in two volumes. Kick that. But let me tell you what it is. You know, when there's a case that you see on TV, when the detectives or the courts or whatever, they finally pull out something that proves that you did it, or prove that it happened, or whatever it is, they call it the smoking gun. Well, Dr. Sheikh Under the Job developed a smoking gun, and that was the melanin dosage test. He could take some skin from the mummies and tell you how much melanin was in those mummies. Now, he did this in 74. He won the debate in 74, but because of cognitive dissonance. Because of cognitive dissonance. Because they don't want to believe what we know that is true. Because they have already set in motion the idea that they are superior. And there's nothing that you can say, nothing that you can prove otherwise. It's cognitive dissonance. Because the truth that you're presenting, even though it is, doesn't jive with what I say it is. So I reject it. I ignore it. Because what I say is true. And so today still, they don't talk about the great multi-genius Dr. Sheikh Under the Job and the work that he did to prove that the ancient Kemetic people were African. Even that asshole Dr. Azita Wass. No, they were not black. They were not black. They were African, but they were not black. Some of them got pissed because a melanated sister, not deeply, that's not yellow, played Cleopatra in this series on, I don't know what it was on. I watched it. No, they got pissed because Kemet has been whitewashed by Arabs that have crossed from Saudi Arabia and the Arabian Peninsula in that area and moved across Northern Africa to dominate Northern Africa today. And I had a piece when I go on Facebook of this Arab looking, quote, Egyptian. In fact, family, do this. There's Egypt and there's Kemet. They are different. Egypt is what is today. Egypt can still be considered what happened with the turn of the century with Cleopatra and Mark Anthony and so forth going forward, as opposed to previous, before that, the dynasties, the 30 dynasties, that's Kemet. That's African. That's black. What went forward, of course, is the lightning of Egypt to the point of looking white. In fact, those people there, I've seen on my Facebook claiming all of it, claiming from the beginning of the dynastic periods, from the beginning of Normer, uniting the two lands and starting the dynasty periods, the beginnings of the early dynasties of Dynasty 3, Dynasty 4 of Khufu, Khafre, and Menkaure. They're doing this. Let me get another call. Brother, hold on, Brother Paul. Let me get you. Let me get Brother Irv right quick. Brother Irv.
No, Brother OG, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. How you been, man? I called you up, man. I didn't reach you, man, but I just wanted to holler at you.
Yeah, I had an appointment. I saw your call. I was going to talk to you today. Mm-hmm. I want to get the update on what happened down in EDI
yep,
because it's
sure.
Always a beautiful thing, man.
It is. Brother, believe me, it is.
Brother, when you get the plant seeds in our people and see them grow over the 5-year, 10-year, 30-year period.
Yes.
Then you see the work that you're doing and the difference that you're making. And Baba Osho, you're making a difference. Everyone there, and you know, I know all those brothers there personally. So I know somewhat of how they believe, how they believe that they found their purpose.
Right.
And their purpose is to pass this information on to others to use and not and not let the library die with you.
Right.
Brother Osho, get Brother Paul in so he can have a say, and we will talk.
All right, brother. Thank you, Brother Irv. Appreciate you. Brother Paul.
Oh, Baba Osho, thank you for Brother Irv for giving way, man. Ultimate and due respect to my brother. You know, Baba Osho, let me just say something very quickly, yeah? Today I was listening, I just caught the tail end of the Carl Nelson show, yeah? You know, I try and engage the shows between what I'm doing with work or wherever I am. I listen on my headpiece sometimes or whatever I can do to get the show. But we had Dr. Taylor on there, okay? And he's a person who's been on Time for Awakening a few times. And he said some things which just got my mind straight away thinking. I mean, he's very energetic when he speaks. I don't know if you're familiar with the person I'm speaking about. And he's very articulate, being he's an academic. And, you know, but so I just caught the tail end and it just got me, my brain working. What he was actually saying. And what he was saying was that, what he said was that, which I'd actually thought myself, and that's why, it's like when you think something, you have a thought process going on in your head. You don't find many people you can confer with, only programs like this and some of your guests and the listeners, you can confer with them because you're on the same page, in the same book, but not many people you can confer with. So these ideas dwell in your head. But then when I tuned in now, he said something which has been going on in my mind for a little while. I'm watching the events go around the world, things were happening, and one thought came to my mind. I said to myself, the divine forces are now intervening. That's what came to me. I can see it. I can feel it. It's almost as if, you know, you man, not you per se, but man and his arrogance, Donald Hitler, Trump, the dump, in his arrogance, thinks he has power. I keep hearing these idiots, devils, telling, the most powerful man in the world. He ain't no more powerful man in the world. He ain't. Look, you cannot tell me he's the most powerful man in the world because my mind doesn't allow that. He ain't no power. He ain't no more powerful than me. He can die like me. He can be taken out like me. He has to go to the toilet like me. So how the hell are you telling me he's the most powerful man in the world? How the hell are you telling me that?
Because of the arrogance.
Bluff game. This is
Because of the arrogance of the United States. That's why. And the arrogance of white supremacy.
Right.
But
it's all a facade.
Mm-hmm.
The Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey 100 years ago said, they are bluffing you. But you know the unfortunate thing is the majority of us can't see through the bluff because they use fear. It's fear which makes people blind, you know.
Yes.
People are fear of losing their home. People are fear of losing their life. People are fear of everything, yeah? And this is how they get you. They make you fear if you talk out, this is what's going to happen to you, man. But you know, in Jamaica, we say, adopi no hoofi frighten. What that means, adopi no hoofi frighten, meaning that ghosts, if you see a ghost in your house, he knows who to scare. The ghost knows who to scare, and some people he know he can't frighten, so he ain't going to bother with them. When the ghost or the comes to your home, he knows who he's going to frighten, but there's some people he know he ain't going to frighten, because he know that you got a spirit, it can't be frightened so easily. So we say, adopi no hoofi frighten. So what I'm saying about that is that it's just bullcrap. I know that the forces have intervened. The natural forces, the divine forces, the universal forces have intervened. That's why nothing can go right. And Dr. Taylor talked about that. He articulated it in another way. But I'd actually been thinking about it. I can see this. And he's right. 100% right. The force, he said, the ancestors have intervened. And he's right. 100 million%. But because of fear, many of us don't get it. We can't feel it. We're fear. We get trapped into the politics. We get trapped into the narratives. And it's all a mind game. It's just a mind game they're playing on you. Mm. It's a mind game. The great honorable Robert Nesta Marley, for those who don't know, I'm talking about Bob Marley, most people know him by. In one of his lyrics, he said, have no fear. He said this in his lyrics because he was a messenger, you see. He was a messenger. Yes. So he said, have no fear for atomic energy because none of them can stop the time. He said that, yeah? But most people don't understand. Time is an illusion. Time isn't real. The right. time we read on the clock, right, has been set by the Romans. It's all fake. It was set up for commerce. It was set up for business purposes, what those people call this pseudoscience called economics. It was set up for that. That's what it was set up. That's why they set the time grids, the time savings. It was all set up for commerce, okay, by the Romans. That's mm-hmm. what it was set up for. It's not real. It's artificial. There right. isn't 60 minutes in an hour. There isn't. There, it's all made up, okay? So what I'm saying is, right, when the great Robert Nesta Marley says to you as a messenger, to have no fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. That's right. how they bluff you.
That's right.
They keep lying to you. They lie. And like I'm going to say, I'm going to wrap it up. Believe. All these people, religious especially, they always tell you about who they believe. I'm a believer. But I keep telling them, in the middle of the word believe is the word lie. Believe means you don't know. It right. just means that you're rhetorically.
Right.
I say it again, you're rhetorically repeating something repetitively, which mm-hmm. you have no understanding of. Because once you question, like you say God, you keep saying God. And I say to you, who's God? And you say, oh, he's God in the Bible. I say, who wrote the Bible? Did God write the Bible? You say, yeah. I say, how did God write the Bible? Why would God write the Bible if he's the most powerful, he's in control of it? I say, who named God? Did God have a mother and father for him to be named? Who gave him your name? Isn't it your mother and father give you a name? So who gave God his name? It's all nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And as soon as you question them, it all breaks down.
Right.
You have these religious people coming on, and I said to one of them, how old is the Bible? And he start waffling about nonsense. And I just had to laugh because he don't know. And then he said, oh, I said, I thought it's about 6,000 years. I said, did man come on this earth 6,000 years? I said, listen, bro, come on, man. You can test the DNA. You can do carbon testing. You just spoke about the professor who worked out carbon testing. You can do these mm-hmm, things. Mm-hmm. We know it's all nonsense. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right, so, but still, because of the brain, the mind control, Baba Ochi, we're still under it. Even when you talk to these people, what these psychologists refer to as cognitive dissonance sets in. Let me explain so people get clear the cognitive dissonance. It's when someone presents to you the facts and it's undisputable. And when they ask you a question, you can't really answer it because you don't really know the answer. Right? So you start waffling and it makes no sense what you're saying. But then you still go back to the basic print, what you've been indoctrinated from the age of between 1 and 7. You still mm-hmm. go back to that. And who indoctrinated you? I'm sorry to say this. It was your parents who did that.
Exactly.
And you love your parents. That's why you don't want to betray right. them. That's why you keep regurgitating this stuff.
Right.
You keep regurgitating it because it's your parents who put that in your head. And they had no choice because it was put in their head. And at a certain stage, Baba Ochi, it was beat and murdered into us.
That's
and that
right.
happened when they stole us out of Africa.
That's
they
right.
murdered and beat. That's why they got the skulls there. That's why they're doing the things they're doing, Baba Ochi. Yeah. I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you. Ah, man, I tell you, all of y'all, I know I'm at the top of the hour, but I also mentioned the complimentary conference this past Saturday. Me and my lady, we participated in with Baba Baruti. Outstanding. And next time it happens, please join in the things that Baba Rudy does. He and Mama Yah are jewels in our community here and for us as a people. You know, there's no stronger voice dealing with the sovereignty for African people than Baba Mwalimu Baruti and Marimba Ani and many others. There's a ton of us. There's a lot of us. So, brothers and sisters, I thank you for tuning in today's program. Be back on Wednesday. Hope that you'll be able to join us for another episode of African Perspectives. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they shown the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. See you on Wednesday, family. Peace.